¿Quieres pedo, güey? No, chale. Chale,
chale, chale. ¿Quieres pedo? No, chale. Chale. Ya sabes que a mí me vale.
Me vale.
¿Quieres pedo? No, chale.
Chale.
You know that I'm down for the highlight.
Welcome to Suplexes and Cervezas with Chavo Guerrero Jr. I'm your host, Chavo Guerrero Jr. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. I hope your day is going as well as mine, because right now I am looking at beautiful sunset in Brisbane, Australia, having a great time, doing some filming out here still. Really just enjoying this place. Really, really cool city, great country. And just having a really good time with some of my actor friends. So today we have Golf Channel host Holly Saunders on the podcast. I met Holly through a mutual friend over at Wingman Magazine. And he basically called me up and said, do you know Holly? And I said, I do not know Holly. And he says, you two would hit it off great. He connected us, and sure enough, this girl is awesome. She's so outstanding. Such a cool person. Fun to talk to. Very, very witty. Very smart girl. Can kick your butt on the golf course and is very easy on the eyes also. I call her the unicorn because there's not many like her. She's a figment of our imagination. She shouldn't exist, but she does. And I just had a really, really great conversation with her. She's so good at her job that sometimes it seemed like she was interviewing me. And I think I said that a couple times on the podcast, so I was like, wait a minute, I'm the podcast host here. But she's so prepared at her job and such a professional that she did her research on me. I really enjoyed my conversation with her, and it just seemed like we could have talked for hours. I can't say enough about Holly. So without further ado, I bring you Suplexes and Cervezas with Holly Saunders.
Hey, man.
Bullshit, man.
It is. Your traps look really good. That's how we can start out the podcast. Your traps look great.
I just traps just for you. No, I didn't. No. I just did a cardio today. Thanks.
You've been married for 22 years, right?
22.
Okay, good. All right. I just want to make sure you're still married, all that, before I like said anything. Because that's crazy and awesome and wow.
It's nice. Not easy, you know. It's one of those things that you've been married, correct?
Oh, yeah. We can get into that, too. That was...
You know what? It's not easy. Being married is not easy. It's the toughest thing I've had to do, you know. It takes two for sure, but it takes compromise. That's like the main thing in a marriage is compromise. You're not going to get your way all the time, and you're not going to give your way all the time. It's kind of like a huge compromise. But what happens, I think, is that we have such a history together, you know, kids and, you know, house and 401ks and, you know, retirements and all these different things that, like, I don't want to start over. And then not just that, I don't know if I'd ever find somebody as awesome as she is, you know. Don't get me wrong. She's insane. She's crazy. She drives me freaking batty. But on both sides, she drives me crazy on good sides too, you know. So, I don't know. It's one of those things like I'm just, you know, I'm here, you know.
Well, that second part of what you said, you don't know if you can find somebody who's more awesome than she is. That, like, I understand that part. But do you think that some people stay in relationships for the wrong reasons? Like, they stay
Absolutely.
For their kids. They stay because the finances are tied together.
Absolutely. It was a great check, like a personal check, you know, like check yourself before you wreck yourself type thing. Because she pointed out some things that I probably needed to change. I was, you know, a pro wrestler for so long in this alpha male environment that I always had to be this like, this killer guy, because I'm my size dealing with guys that are 6'8", you know, 300 pounds. And if you let them, they'll eat you. And
dude, monsters.
Yeah. So I had to be super alpha around them. But then, like, that doesn't translate to the real world. That doesn't work. Wrestling world is one thing. And I talked about this in one of my last podcasts. I had to transition out of wrestling and transition back to society, you know, and the things that I was doing with my Orange County friends, they're like, okay, you're insane. I'm like, insane? I'm like one of the calm ones among the wrestling the wrestlers, you know, I'm like not even close. Uh-huh. You guys would never survive in that world. So I went through some anger management stuff, you know, not to get too much about me because it's not about me. This is about you.
No, this is really interesting.
Yeah. You know, and I did some anger management stuff, but it kind of just put in perspective how life really is, you know. And then I was going to, like, I went to the church and went to some anger management things. And then I was like, okay, wait a minute. You know, these guys were like, you know, in one meeting, one guy's talking. He's like, well, you know, my job, and they wanted to release me. So I was sitting there and I'm waiting for like stuff to happen, you know, mm-hmm. for the story to really start. And he's like, so I just went ahead and continue working and helping out and train the new person in my position. And they actually found a position for me. And I went on and started continue working for the company. And I'm like, that's your anger?
Right.
I was picking up refrigerators last week and throwing them, you know, and I'm freaking out and veins popping out of my neck. I go, okay, I'm in the wrong group here. I go, I need to find a group for like professional, like athletes or people that are just like insane.
Someone who just like came out of the military or something like that. Somebody who's trying
something.
To like get back.
Biker gang guys or something.
Yeah.
Like, I just like, that was not me. So I kind of had to deal with it on my own a little bit because there's really nobody like, they can't relate to us except for wrestlers, and that's why I get mm-hmm. along so well with my wrestling friends. So it's you know, it's sad because I miss them. I miss being around them all the time.
Of course.
I just don't miss being on the road and, you know, getting punched in the face all the time.
So how did you like acclimate yourself back into a home life of mowing your fucking lawn and all of that? Like, how did you become normal again? Did your wife like stand on you? Was she like, dude, you got to make these changes, or it was on you?
No, definitely not. She's not one of those that's going to make me kind of change unless I want to. I enjoy being normal. I enjoy mowing the lawn and fixing things. You know, I don't want to call somebody. I'm one of those guys that can do it. If I can't do it, I'll figure it out and do it like a pro. Mm-hmm. If I can't do it like a pro, then I'll hire
a pro. Get a pro. Yeah. You'll
but
pay a pro.
I rarely need to hire a pro. Like, she's all pissed off because our washer and dryer is like, you know, like 12 years old, 15 years old, because every time it breaks, I just take it apart and fix it again. And she's like, gosh, dang it. Stop fixing this thing. I need a new washer and dryer. And I'm like, no, it's just the heating element. Let me go. I'm going to, you know, on Amazon, I order the part. I'm going to fix this right now. So
yeah. I have never had a man in my life that could fix anything. Not my father, not anybody I've ever dated. We always have to call a guy. I've never had anyone, if they try, they get a screwdriver out and we take a picture because it's like a novelty that they're trying. Yeah. Or it gets way worse if they ever try. I've never been with anybody who's handy.
I'm the guy. I'm the guy. I'm the guy. When people call somebody, they call me, you know. I'm just one of those guys that, you know, growing up, my dad was pretty handy, but I took it to the next level. My brother-in-law is a real handy guy. So we, you know, we'll take engines apart and fix this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're rebuilding my mother's house right now, the house that I grew up in. And I have it down to the studs. So I don't know if you've seen some of my Instagram sometimes.
Yes.
I'll post actually building a house. That's my mom's house. And I'm completely redoing the entire house for her.
Like, how many projects do you have right now?
You're in everything.
You're in entertainment. You're in home. You're like a contractor. Like, what in the hell is going on?
I have a lot of irons in the fire. I just like that. I like being busy like that. For so long, it was just wrestling. And all I had wrestling right here. Like, that was everything. But I was so busy with wrestling, I couldn't do anything else. I was on the road 300 days a year for like 18 straight years.
Sure.
Yeah, so when I left wrestling, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? So I kind of figured out, instead of having one thing, I have several different things and I make money from all of them. So I got a little nice nest egg at the bottom. Mm-hmm. When one thing kind of dries up, I'll replace it with something else. This thing dries up, I'll put mm-hmm. something else there. And I like being busy like that. I'm like, I call myself a jackass of all trades.
I love that. Like, and that's one thing we've learned during Corona now too, is like, you can't just do one fucking thing. Like, you've got to diversify. You've got to, you know, you've got to invest. And then some people are just becoming day traders now. Like, people in Las Vegas that were cocktail waitresses and hosts, everybody's out of a job right now. So people are trying to like day trade. They're trying to figure out, you know, have a couple skills.
I'm in entertainment and that never stops. Wrestling has never stopped. Hollywood has never stopped. And it all stopped.
All came to a stop. I never thought I'd see sports. I never thought I'd see March Madness get canceled. I told Dave, I'm like, don't worry about it. They will never cancel March Madness. It all goes down.
They canceled everything. So you have to pivot. And if if you don't have something else you can do, then you're kind of screwed.
So what do you think people should do now? Like, the next 6 months are going to be really interesting.
Yeah, you know what? Hopefully it starts getting back to a normal, but I guess it's going to be the new normal, I guess they call it now.
Well, people can be replaced now, you know? They can do it from home. They can be replaced. Walmart is now, I saw, they have drones that are delivering everything.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's going to be normal.
Things are going to change. You know, home offices are getting more prevalent. People mm-hmm. are leaving, not going to work anymore. They're doing everything at home because they're able to. You know, things are on Zoom. You know, they're on the computer.
Right.
So I think it's good, but I think it's bad too. I like that person-to-person contact as opposed to just talking to somebody on a smartphone.
Yeah, you're an older generation who, and along with me, I'm 33 now. Like, mm-hmm. we value like face-to-face. And there's the younger generation, like, good luck with a job interview. Face-to-face, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for apps. Sure.
Like, I don't know about your children, but I'm sure you put an emphasis on like getting them outside and shit. Like, it's not totally. The same as us.
Totally. You know, and especially with my kids, like I was very big on putting, like when you shake somebody's hand, you look them in the eye, you shake mm-hmm. their hands, you talk to them, you have a personality. Because there's some, you know, kids that I know that, you know, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, I've known them since they were 10, and I don't even know if they have a voice because they right. don't talk. My kids, my oldest is, he's so funny because they're both a little bit of me, just the opposites of me. One's the jock douchebag. He's the oldest one. He's the one that's in, you
what's
know,
his name? How old are they?
He's James. He's 21.
Okay.
He's in an NEU, Northern Arizona University. He's in, you know, the fraternity and does all, you know,
hey,
the
bro.
Things. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey man, what's up? You know, hey man, I'm drinking till I puke and then I'm drinking more. And then my other one, Max, he's 18 and he's the drama nerd. He loves drama. He loves doing like that kind of stuff, you know, like very, he's so smart. Like we play Jeopardy and the guy kicks my ass and I'm pretty good. And he actually is like, I'm like, what did you learn all this stuff? He says, I just retain things, Dad. So he's, you know, one's the artsy part of mm-hmm. me and one's the punch you in the face.
Do they get along?
Oh yeah. They get along great.
That's cool. And yeah. Oh my God, they're all grown.
Yeah.
What's the most trouble they've ever gotten into? And how does that compare to the trouble you got into at those ages?
No trouble. Those guys are really awesome. I mean, here and there things, but not like they didn't get arrested like mm-hmm. yours truly. They never been arrested. They've never been in the back of a cop car, at least that I don't know of. But I never had to pick them up from the police station like my dad had to pick me up. Twice.
That's not bad.
Nothing bad. One time in high school, we were juniors and the seniors were graduating. So we had the bright idea. It's like, hey, they're on the senior night cruise before they go to their, you know, their senior trip or whatever.
The cruise.
Yeah, it's like, cause we live in Southern California. So there you go to
cruise, you privileged little fuckers.
Yeah. Right. No shit. Right. So it's this little overnight, not even overnight, just like, you know, like a 5-hour little cruise. And, you know, they have a little faux gambling for the guy, for the, you know, no dancing and stuff. It's like a little prom thing, whatever. We were like, okay, well, all their cars are at, you know, at the marina. Let's go, you know, put shaving cream on their cars and let's, you know, just mess. We didn't do anything bad. So we were putting, you know, shaving cream and talking like, you know, my class was the best class and this and this and you guys mm-hmm. suck or whatever. So as we're leaving, a security guard starts following us. He thought we were stealing stereos. We absolutely were not. We get pulled over on the side of the road, I mean, the side of the highway by, you know, like a CHP, by a cop, mm-hmm. California Highway Patrol, and they just stop. They don't do anything. I'm like, okay, what's going on? We're like, hide the shaving cream, you know, put it underneath the seat. And then all of a sudden, four other cop cars come. Bam, 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 bam. They all have cars. They have guns drawn. They're doors are open. They're like, you know, exit the door from the outside. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh my God. Like I didn't really know. Now I would have said, dude, it was just shaving cream. You know, there I was like, oh my God. So they arrested us, took us back to the scene of the crime. The seniors were all coming out. They saw us in the back of the cop cars talking about humiliation. And then we went to jail, not fingerprints or everything, because there was nothing, they weren't gonna, there's no vandalism, they just wiped Christ. Off the shaving cream, whatever. So that was done. My dad had to, you know, at 10, 2 o'clock in the morning, had to go pick us up at the police department in San Pedro. And
he beat your ass?
No, he was cool about it. You know, he did the same type of stuff and, you know, even worse. And he was like, what are you doing? It's like, we didn't really do anything, Dad, you know. So he was pretty easy on me, thank God.
You know what's interesting about that, what you just said, is like a lot of kids would be really like proud to like show up in front of their other classmates in a cop car, they'd be like, look at me. But you were like, it was humiliating. That's how I know you're like a good person.
Super humiliating. Yeah. Super humiliating. I felt like, I don't know, just, God, you know, first of all, you're embarrassed, you know, and, you know, second of all, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have all these seniors trying to kick my butt, you know, and whatever, you know, but it wasn't a great time in my life, but I look back at it and I laugh.
Dude, we all have those moments.
Right.
Never been arrested. When I was a junior, I was like making out with my boyfriend in the car and my shirt was off and a cop pulled up. And call my parents. That was bad. That was just.
They called
bad.
Your parents?
They called my parents. And I'm stupid enough to give them like my actual parents' number. Like, why wouldn't I just give them a fake number?
Why would they call your parents? I mean, that happened to me a few different times in high school, but the first thing they said, hey, to the girl, like, are you here willingly? She's like, yeah, of course.
Right. I was like, hot. Like, yeah, I'm here. This is consensual. But then I should have given the wrong number. Like, why would I actually, like, what kind of kid does that? Sure, here it is, 937.
How was your parents when didn't they have to?
Oh my God. You know, you walk in and you're just like, oh God, here it comes, you know? But you're 17 and 16. It's like, what do you kind of expect at that point?
Holly, I didn't raise a hoe. Knock that off. Your mom cried. Your mom's crying. Oh my God, my daughter's a whore.
Right. Like in Ohio, in like a farm town in Ohio, we didn't have the midnight cruise like you guys had. We just had like the parking lot outside of Odd Lots. So
at the barn.
It's exactly basically what it was, parked behind this like barn. It's like, how did you find us, number one? And two, like, please don't call my parents.
You grew up in Ohio?
I grew up like in a shitty farm town right outside Columbus.
Really?
The only way anybody knows that it's on the map is because it's the only Honda plant. Like, they make all the Honda cars and parts.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in America.
Sure.
Marysville, Ohio. So I just say Dublin or Columbus and
Columbus,
people understand that. So
how was that growing up?
Totally normal and boring. And once I left and went to Michigan State, I knew I would never come back.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm out of here. I got to get out of this place.
Like, I got to do something else. And now I look at like on Facebook or Instagram and see the people that I went to school with, and they look like they're 100 years old and they have like six kids. Doesn't it scare you? Because you stayed so youthful and like, you know, like
I see
entertainment,
some,
we stay up on our looks and everything. And we're like,
yeah.
Oh,
God. Yeah. Yeah. I see some people I went to high school with, and I'm like, okay, this guy's a year younger than me. I'll show like a friend. They're like, what the heck? I'm like,
right.
Now you started playing golf as a kid, huh?
So I was like 6 years old when I played in my first golf tournament. And I think I shot
playing in your first tournament. So
yeah, so I played from the 150 yard markers.
So you were playing before that then. You started.
Right. So I started
at
like 3 or 4. My mother was a housewife. She just raised kids, and my dad was an eye doctor, and she was a club champion for 24 years.
Your mom was a club champion.
Yeah. So she was a good golfer and got me into it. And then
that's awesome.
Started playing, you know, competitively at 6, and then played all the way through junior golf, and really was like burnt out, honestly, if I'm being completely honest, by like 16.
Really?
But still, that's what you do when you're good at something and everybody expects you to play, you know, you keep doing it. Yep. You don't do it for yourself. You do it for everybody else.
When did you realize that you were like, hey, I'm pretty good at this?
I was about 10 years old or 11, and I won my first like national tournament then. And I was like, okay, like, this is different. Yeah. So then you end up giving up every summer to go play golf tournaments. Everybody else is at the pool doing kid stuff. And you're going to like rules meetings, you know, USGA rules meetings. And then, you know, you're just in this like collared shirt and you're just this little dork. And you're kind of like, at some point you realize there's more.
You know, people don't realize how much you have given up when you get to like, you know, whatever, you know, huge level, college level, pro level. And then all of a sudden people are like, oh, wow, you know, these guys really worked hard. They don't understand how much you gave up life. You gave up a lot of your childhood to work like this. That's the only way you get that good.
Then you go to college and golf is played all year round. So you have the fall season and you have the spring season. And in the spring of Michigan, you can't play there until about April, and you still might get the snow at the Big Ten tournament, no matter where it is, Indiana, wherever you're playing. So we were in Texas, we were in Florida, we were in California, you know, every Thursday through Sunday playing golf, January through the end of May. And,
really?
And yeah, right. So there's no chance to party. There's no chance to be on campus and be part of the I-Zone. And, you know, you miss all the college football. So, But just like you, like, there have been so many sacrifices. You know, you don't know what weekends are. Like, right. after I got out of golf, stopped playing, then I went to Golf Channel, and golf was played on the weekends, so I'm working Thursday through Tuesday, you know? And up until last year, I never had a weekend off work. It's college football or NFL on Sundays. Your weekends are the work. You don't know what day it is. You just know it's time to work.
I mean, our weeks start like, you know, Friday, because entertainment Correct. Starts Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at Right. least, you know? Yeah, I was the same way on that.
Because you want to be on TV when everybody else is at home. Nobody thinks about that. Like, Right. we've never had Thanksgiving because there's always a bowl game, or there's always, you know, Christmas, whatever it is, you're never home. So
yeah, you miss everything. I mean, growing up, being a third generation pro wrestler, my father was on the road all the time, so he was never home for Christmases, for Thanksgiving, for Easters, because Right. they were wrestling those days. You know, mm-hmm. after you open presents and hang out, what would you do? You'd go see a wrestling match, or go see a concert, or go whatever. So they were always on the road. I miss so much growing up, and even my profession, so much of my kids' birthdays and graduations Yep. and plays. I missed everything, really, to be honest. And that's kind of a reason, one of the reasons why I left wrestling and decided to get out of it, was like, I didn't want my kids to grow up without a dad. And they were. That's, you know, when I left, my oldest was 12, my youngest was 9. So they really now don't remember me being gone as much as I was. Uh-huh. But when I say I was gone, I was home 65 days a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 12 and 9, those are like some like pivotal ages. So that was good for you to get back. Was that like 6th grade, 7th grade? And
yeah, you know, yeah, for sure. You know, and they, you know, they liked dad being, I guess, a celebrity or whatever.
Dude, that's, it's so badass.
Yeah, being on video games and being on TV, but they liked me being home too. They, you know, they were sad when I left, and they were happy when I came home, until I got mad at them and laid the hammer down and said, okay, do your chores. What do you mean do my chores?
What is the biggest thing that you miss? Just like not being in the ring right now. Like what's the biggest thing you miss? The guys, the friendships?
I do miss the friendships. That's a huge one. I miss the camaraderie that we'd have with the guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd be on the road sometimes, like in Europe for 3 weeks. And I remember being at the hotel bar with some of the guys drinking beers, and we were so miserable and sad that we weren't home, but so happy at the same time because we were in this environment with our brothers.
Right.
It was such a, you know, catch 22. And I miss that. I do miss that a lot. I miss being in the ring and performing. There's no high in the world.
Nothing.
Like being in front of 10,000, 12, 15,000 feet people and putting on an incredible match and having them like pop.
Screaming, just like.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And that's why, and I see why a lot of wrestlers had in the past gone to drugs, because you tried to replicate that. And it doesn't matter. You couldn't. It was amazing. The high you felt was incredible. Mm-hmm. The sweats that I would get in the ring, just man, it's like I felt like I was in battle, like mm-hmm. just. The endorphins that you'd get, like you can't get them, you know.
You could lift a car up, probably. You could just be like
something, yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, for sure. You know, and that's why, like now to this day, you know, if I for some reason I get into like a, you know, bar fight or whatever, it still happens every now and then.
Does it really?
Oh and yeah, totally. I've been in many.
Like Conor McGregor, every time he goes out, there's something that happens.
Yeah,
like something that happens, whether someone accuses him of what is it recently, exposing himself, whatever they accused him of, or it's a fight. Like, is he looking for a fight? Like, what is that mentality? Every time he goes out, he knows there's a chance.
And you know, you're not looking for, because I'm not looking for, I absolutely don't want it to happen. I'd rather buy you a beer than punch in the face. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, sometimes, you know, I'll walk away once, walk away twice, but I'm not going to walk away 3 times. It's not going to happen. But I enjoy that. That's the thing. Like, I'd like the competition of it. To me, getting in fights, a competition. It's like, all right, let's see what you got, man. Let's go. It just makes me feel alive. Like, all right, you know, people, some guys, you know, they freak out and they can't handle it. With me, I'm just kind of like, all right, it's good. All right, we're done. I punch that dude, let's have a beer. I'm like, whatever.
All right, so if you were going to teach me how to fight, where would we even begin? I am the biggest wrestling fan. I was at Royal Rumble 2 years ago now.
No way.
Yeah, like WWE, because Fox got the pregame and everything. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and it was awesome. And we went backstage, and I was talking to Carmella, who's been a friend. They were like memorizing lines and getting all the makeup. And I'm like, this is as much of a production as anything I've ever seen.
Oh, it's huge.
I went to the trucks and everything and met Stephanie McMahon. And like, it is a like process. It is just down to a T. Like, you guys do it so many times, and it is such a well-run organization.
It's the pinnacle of wrestling and entertainment, to be honest.
Oh, my God,
If you've been on the, you know, back the sides of NFL football games and college football games and golfs and different things. It's such a production. WWE is such a production, especially when you get something like a Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. Oh, my God. It's even huge. It's like a Super Bowl. It's so big. The production is so massive. And just all the moving parts just to happen. It's pretty, it's amazing to be a part of. It really is.
And those people are so excited to be there. Like, I have never seen, I mean, I've seen NFL fans, but there were no fans like the WWE fans. Like, they were there an hour early. They took their chairs home with them. Like, it was unbelievable.
Wrestling fans are so loyal. They're
so loyal.
They're loyal. And then, you know, some people, if you don't get wrestling, I get it. You don't get it. And, you know, you, whatever, that's not your bag. But when you get it and they understand it, they're so fanatical. They're awesome. Like, I love a wrestling fan. I love for them to boom when I'm a bat, when I heel, and they're all chanting, Chavo sucks, Chavo sucks. I love it. That's like, that's my job. You know, and I always have, like, you know, the four or five in the front row that like the heel, and they're like, you know, yeah, Chavo. And I'm like, no, 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 I don't need your help. I know I'm good. You know, tell your mom I want my underwear back. And they'll say, hey, wait a minute. We're cheering for you. And I said, I don't want you to cheer for me. You're supposed to hate me. So, you know, it's there's nothing like it in the world. So back to your question. We'll get in a ring and we'll start from the basics.
What I'm very nervous. How good of shape do I need to be in? And, like, what mindset do I bring?
You're an athlete. So you're going to – that's, you know – a lot of the battle right there, but also you understand entertainment and you understand, you know, you understand camera, you know, camera position, camera angles. You kind of probably know how to wrestle yet, but not knowing that you know how to wrestle. Wrestling's not about moves. You know, the moves help tell the story, but the moves are not the story. What we do in the ring is we're storytellers. We tell stories. You can see an MMA fight or a boxing match. And just because they're punching each other doesn't mean that it's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. But once they get into, one guy gets knocked down once or twice and he comes back and he's fighting back, and it's like, oh, wow, they're telling a story through their fists. You know, those are the best times. With wrestling, thank God we're able to manipulate and tell the story. You know, so
it's
good.
It's a big soap opera. It's like a never-ending, unbelievable soap opera. That's what I love.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is, you know.
Oh, people can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Who's going to the hospital? Who's breaking up? Like, it really is like Days of Our Lives.
The most famous or the richest wrestlers in the world sometimes are not the best wrestlers, but they're great. They're great performers, great entertainers.
Dude, The Rock.
The Rock. And he's kind of an anomaly because him being a third generation pro wrestler, he's actually a pretty damn good wrestler too. Great. But he's such a great performer. You know, you give him the mic, he's gold. You're John Cena, you give him that microphone, they're golden. People can relate to them and can connect with them.
Right, The Rock has kept his, like, roots too. Like, he's the highest paid actor in Hollywood. In the world, but he still comes across as, here's my cheat meal, here's my kids, like, just super humble, super normal.
Let me tell you about Rocky. We still call him Rocky. He was still wrestling for SmackDown. And I was there also with him. He's filming the sequel to Get Shorty. I forget the name of that, the movie, but so it's with John Travolta, Danny DeVito stuff. And so, you know, it's probably 2004, maybe. After the SmackDown live event, which is on Tuesdays, he's flying back to Hollywood to, you know, start prepping and stuff for the movie. So he goes, hey, Chavo, you want to fly back tonight? You live in LA. And I'm like, yeah, well, I actually live in Orange County, right? So I'm like, yeah, sure. Great. I'm like, on a private plane? He's like, yeah, I got a plane ready to go. I'm like, oh, all right. Great. He's like, what do you want to eat? I'm like, I don't know. Like, what do you want to eat? I go, whatever you're having. He's like, what do you want to drink? I'm like, whatever you want to drink. I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to be accommodating. Like, great. I'm just grateful. Mm-hmm. So he flies us back. Him and I are up till, you know, cause after the show, we don't get on the plane till 11:30 midnight in East Coast time. So by the time we land in LA, it's 5 a.m., you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just he and I talking the whole time, drinking, just shooting stories about growing up in the business and different things. Landed in L.A. When I land in L.A., I'm going to take a cab back to the Orange County Airport, John Wayne Airport, and pick up my car, right? And he's like, no, I got a limo for you. And I said, aww. What? He had a limo for me going back. And this happened probably 5 weeks in a row, 5 weeks in a row.
Oh, nice. Man,
you coming back? I'd be in the shower. He's like, child, well, let's go. We're going. I'm like, all right, let's go. You know, so that's the kind of guy. He didn't have to do that at all. That's the kind of guy he was.
He likes to take care of other people. He seems like he gets more joy taking care of other people. I don't know him at all. I just feel like he's a giver.
He's awesome. The guy you see in, you know, on his Instagram and his social media and his interviews, that's him. He's such a great guy. Like I can't stress it enough. You know, incredible businessman, work ethic through the roof.
What do you think it is about wrestlers that make you guys just so, such authentic people? Like you seem like such a good human being, and the guys that you talk about, like that you don't, I never see you talk about or hear about like jealousy. Like you're like, I miss those guys. What is it about it that's so authentic?
You know, I think we just, if you don't believe the hype, it's all a bunch of BS. Look, this is a character that I'm playing on TV. It may be an extension of myself, you know, blown out of proportion, like, you know, like huge. It's, if you just don't believe the hype, you know, that job doesn't define me. Mm-hmm. My heart defines me. The person defines me. Don't get me wrong. If you piss me off, you know, outside of work and you're, you know, doing something, I'm still that guy, but I'm not that guy. That's not who I want to be. You know, that's just my job. So I just don't believe the hype. There's a saying that Dusty Rhodes, an ex-wrestler, used to say that I've dined with king and queens and I've dined on pork and beans.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down, and on the way down, you see that same person.
Same people.
That's right.
Be nice to everybody, man.
Rock is very much like that. You know, he's walking into the, you know, the arena, and he'll see a, you know, garbage guy or, you know, guy,
janitor, anybody. Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Rock, hey, man, what's up? How's it going? You know, so that's where you got to be. You don't, and what I've learned too in this business is you don't know who's going to be your boss next week. When you meet somebody on a plane hanging out, you don't know if this person is, you know, like is a billionaire with a multi-billion dollar mm-hmm. company, or he's just Joe Smo that will be a billionaire in 5 years. You don't know. So I just kind of treat everybody, you know, who they are. And I'm one of those guys that I don't care if you're black or white or a woman or a man or a sexual preference you like. If you're an asshole, you're an asshole. If you're cool, you're cool. And that's just the way it is.
I've had like PAs that used to cut video, you know, at NBC go on to become, you know, vice presidents of networks.
Absolutely. All right. Producers. You've seen that, right?
Oh, I've gotten jobs because people have either, you know, gotten fired along the way and gotten a different job somewhere. And they've been like, you know what? I just remember you being really nice to the production crew. Like it may not even be because I'm the most talented. It's just because like you're easy to work with and you're a nice person. And that's what I remember.
You seem very down to earth and very real also.
Which is like, people would never think, you know, they think they see the boobs and the hair and all of that. And like, I'm just like a tomboy from Ohio. Honestly, I like all the glamour. It's so much fun. Like 2 days out of the week, you know?
Yeah. I love it. I love that. I love, like we talked before, I love going shoe shopping and getting into mani pedi, you know?
Hell yeah.
I love that stuff.
Whatever, you're Barney's and yeah, you're fabulous.
That's awesome. But I also love just going in the backyard and, you know, cracking a beer and having my shirt off and doing some yard work, you know?
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I don't understand why people put us in a box. Like you think that just because somebody's in high heels or a bikini, they can't possibly be kind or they can't possibly be smart. You know, I don't understand the whole
thing.
You could be all these things. You can be like awesome in bed, and you can be an awesome mother, and you can be like a great cook, and I just don't even get it.
I totally agree with that. What you see on the surface is not always what you get, right? The cover of the book isn't always what the story is about.
Good and bad, both ways, yes.
Yeah, I know. You're right, too, on that.
Totally.
Yeah. So you played golf at Michigan State.
I did. So I played golf from age 4 to about age 22. I knew I wasn't good enough to be a pro. And then I was like, if I'm not going to play it, fuck it. I'm going to talk about it. So I called Golf Channel because that's all I watched growing up. That's all I ever knew because I was like a dorky golf kid. And I called Golf Channel over and over. And they're like, you've never had a TV job. I understand you're an attractive girl who like plays golf, but you've never done live TV. You need to go do your green. Go do something. So I went to Little Rock, Arkansas and did the local news for 9 months. Like Chavo, like murders. Tornadoes. Yeah. I mean, there's still gang activity. There's everything down there. It's totally different. Deep South. And so I did the 5 and 10 p.m. news, learned live TV, and I sucked. Like, you in the beginning, you suck, you know?
Oh my God. That's not an easy job. That is so hard, being having a headset on or somebody in your ear, and you're trying to – talk live and you start talking to you, and you're, mm-hmm. it's not an easy job at all.
No, if you're like a trailer park at doing the 10 p.m. news in, you know, some domestic violence, whatever it is, scene, and your tape doesn't roll, your video doesn't roll, you're in Little Rock, Arkansas, there's no connection, there's no headset, I'm tripping over my words, like, that's the best place to learn, and nobody's going to see you. That's what I will tell everybody who wants to get in the business. I'm like, go someplace where nobody's going to see you for a year or two. Make all your mistakes, because you're going right. to suck.
Yeah.
You're going to suck. And so then I was 22 and Golf Channel started a new morning show, and they didn't even have a name for the show. I just went in and auditioned, and I couldn't even do full live TV for them. We added a network because it wasn't good enough. So we taped my updates 30 seconds, twice, you know, two times an hour. And then 3 years later, I had three of my own shows on NBC.
Wow.
And then left for Fox. But yeah, I woke up at 2 a.m. The morning show started at 7. I would go in. I wanted to write all my stuff, my own stuff. I'm sure that's probably how you are too. Like the producers would write it and then I would rewrite it. I would sit there and put it in the teleprompter how I wanted it. Because if somebody else is writing it, it doesn't sound like you.
Absolutely. You got so some, no one knows you like you. Yeah.
Right.
You get those bullet points and put it in the way you want to say it. Yeah. How you would say it. I remember that we had the writer guy and he was mm-hmm. like, okay, so writing like some stuff for me and Eddie when we were doing the Los Guerreros thing. And mm-hmm. he's like, okay, so right here, you'll say like, hey, Holmes. I said, it's not Holmes, like home. It's Holmes.
Yeah, that's not how
it's
talk.
Oh, it's Holmes? Yeah, I say, yeah. I don't just walk around and say, hey, orderly, hey, orderly, orderly. I don't just talk like that. I mean, there's a certain, you know, way that you do that. I go, just tell me what you kind of want and we'll do it. And they're like, okay, cool.
You're like, listen, I'll write my own intros, okay?
In a sense, yeah. I don't know how it is there now because I know that they really micromanage you a lot. But back then, they kind of just get like a free will for us. Like, all right, just you got to hit 2 minutes.
Got it. Like I wondered how much of it was ad lib because I could see you being able to just go, especially with Eddie.
We were all ad-libbed. Yeah. Everything was ad-libbed. We'd have to sell. Okay, we got to sell this pay-per-view. We're wrestling these guys. This stipulation of the match. How long do you want? Okay, you want a minute 45? Minute 45, let's go. That's how we would do it.
I can see you. You could go for an hour and 45. Like, you're so interesting. Like,
at times.
You don't make anything interesting.
Some people have a gift of gab. I don't at sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm like tripping over my words and I'm like, okay, how do I want to say this? When you feel it, you really feel it. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to fake it. Like, I really got to feel it. Some guys, like, you know, like I say John Cena and like The Rock, they can talk about anything at any time. You know, Paul Heyman's this manager guy that's been in wrestling for such a long mm-hmm. time. That guy can talk about anything and just do it. He's so good on the mic. It's crazy. Like I don't have that like that. I can sometimes, I don't know. I got to feel it. That's just
you have great people skills though. Like, you're good at interacting with anybody. Like you said,
you're
a prince or a queen or a king, or if they're eating Burger King, like you're
exactly,
you're going to find something to talk to them about and relate to them about.
I know a little about a lot of things and a lot about nothing. That's what I always say.
That's why you're good at Jeopardy.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
Exactly why. It's because I know little things about a lot of things. Like, I usually won't get the entire category, but mm-hmm. I'll get, you know, three to four or five of the things, and they add
of
up.
The potpourri.
You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The potpourri. Exactly.
And Alex Trebek is like a legend. That's so sad right now.
I know. I see that the champion guy, the other guy that's the main mm-hmm. champion, they're grooming him to take a spot. I can see it.
Really?
Yeah. They just brought him on as a kind of a consultant and doing stuff. And I go, okay, he's the next Trebek.
Is that a good choice?
There's nobody like Alex. You can't
Amazing.
Replace Alex.
Right.
But I think, you know, he brings credibility because he's the all-time champion. Mm-hmm. He's relatable. He's likable. Sometimes you just try it and see if it works.
Dude, that's such a good gig. Oh my God. They tape Jeopardy, a couple man. Shows. Oh my God. It's so awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
But
right.
Alex is so fair. And like, how could you not like him? Like, I can see somebody not liking you. I could see someone hating on me, but right. like, he's just, how the hell do you not like him?
I love when Alex like will dig on somebody, but won't like, he kind of digs on you, but he's kind of not really trying to do it, but he just does it. Like, if you look on YouTube, you'll see like some Alex digs, you know?
Oh, it's such dry humor too. And then he's like, oh, sorry.
Right.
What else do we have to talk about? We could talk forever. I totally. Was reading up on you And I
saw you did your research on me. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You have to, it's part of being in the business. If you don't, it's so rude. I don't know if you've ever gone on a podcast or been anywhere when someone either mispronounces your name or doesn't really know what you do for a living. Like, don't you just want to get up and walk out? Like, how could you not take 5 minutes?
Oh yeah, so no, for sure, for sure. Or people claiming that they know things when they don't. It'd be like me coming on and talking about golf and telling you, well, golf is like this, golf is like that. Just because I play every, you know, once every 10 days, you know, and I'm a 15 handicap, whatever, you know what I mean? Right. It's insane, you can't.
Or me telling you how to fix a bathtub. Or me.
You know, one thing though I do know is that I'm always learning. Like, I don't know at all about anything about wrestling. You never stop learning. So I'm always learning. I love learning certain things. I kind of learned that later in life. Growing up, I kind of didn't know that. No one taught me that. I figured it out on my own. But I love learning because it opens different portals in, like, my brain.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, when I started, I wasn't always super handy with my hands. I just didn't know. And then once I started, you know, taking apart an engine, okay, well, that works like that. Okay, well, then that does this and that does that. You know, like I tell my kids, you know, they're like, math, I'm going to have calculators. I said, no, you're not. You may have a calculator, but your calculator is not going to, let's hang this picture on the wall. Okay. So let's measure this. What are you doing? Okay. So now we're hanging three pictures now. This is all math. Everything, the universe is math. Everything is math, geometry, golf. It's super mathematical.
Sure.
So, and they're like, oh, well, no one ever taught me that. Exactly. I said, no one taught me that either. Just building, it's math. Doing, you know, I may not know the formulas how to do something, but
like, I don't give a shit about all the stuff I learned in calculus. It was such a waste of my time. Like, I should have been like interviewing 101. Like, why is there no high school class that teaches you how to interview? Like, we'll help teach you.
I was never in calculus. I was in algebra 2.
I don't even know why I did it.
I totally know what you're saying.
Why are there not basic skills classes? Like, yeah, we'll make you smart and you pay all this money for college, but then you get in an interview and you don't know how to interact with anybody. You don't know how to sell yourself. You're never going to get the job.
I totally agree that they don't teach you money management.
None of it.
You know, that kind of stuff. And they kind of just kind of put you out. I think it's very outdated. I think a lot of it is so useful and I think you're going to use most of it, but they're not getting ready for life. They're getting ready to go to a college class at times, but you know, like money management, how to, you know, home ec stuff, things that you're going to use in
taxes. Kids don't understand
investments.
That.
I remember my econ teacher in high school was like, if you get an A in this class, but you don't retain anything in this class and you never apply any of this to your life, what's your true grade in this class? And we're like, an F? And he's like, exactly. Right. He goes, if you get an F in this class, but you apply many of what we use in life, what's your real grade? We're like, I guess A. And he's like, yeah. So just because you got this grade on a piece of paper, you still got to use it in your life and apply it.
Dude, I love this guy. Like, why don't more people talk like this?
I agree that also, you know, I agree with that. My kids, I'm always big on telling them, like, everything you do is you put your name on, is your stamp. Like,
sure.
Whether you're washing your car, you're putting, you know, Chavo, I'm putting my name on it. Like, I did, this is my work. So you have to, people are going to look at that and go, wow, this kid can really, he's a go-getter. He knows what he's doing. Or this guy's a slacker, man. I go, so anything you do is your stamp. At the same time, you can't be consumed with perfectionism.
Correct.
Like, I fell into that also. Like, I just had to be perfect.
You said you're OCD. So that's.
At times, you know, I definitely control it. But there's things that I like. Certain things, you know, I like my things to be a certain way, and I like to do it, like fix things like a pro. I like to build it like a pro. I don't like to look at it and go, I could have done that better.
No, you
like
want a quality product. I say, you want anything that's like Chavo related. You want people to know it has to be quality. That's
has
it.
To be.
It's 100 or nothing. And you know what? If it's not as good as somebody else's, you tried 100%.
Yeah. So I have a beer out also called Los Guerreros Mexican Lager from Alastor Brewing Company. Check it out, guys. It's awesome. But I wasn't just going to put out a beer. I couldn't. I'm putting the Guerrero name on it. I have followers, fans that are going to buy this because I'm telling them how great it is. So I have to, I was in the process of trying it, brewing it, going back and forth with the brewer. And finally, we came up with this awesome recipe that I will put against any Mexican lager out there. I don't care if it's a Dos Equis or a Corona or a craft brew. I will. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's so good. But I'm putting my name on it. So I couldn't just put out some bullshit, you know?
And no, you believe in it.
Like, absolutely.
Any tested it yourself, like your hands are in it.
Any product that I endorse or, you know, on my Instagram or whatever that I push, I'm not just saying it, you know, just so I'm going to make a buck on it. No, I got to believe in this thing. Like, it's got to be good. It's got to be good. Like, I have to use this. This is what I have to use.
Like, if I'm promoting a face product or something, like,
right,
it's got to be one that I actually believe in. I don't want people to spend their money on shit.
Right.
I don't want consumers to just waste their money. There's not enough money right now.
There's a lot of crap out there.
Oh, my God. You scroll through Instagram, TV, all this. Like, what's the craziest infomercial you've ever seen?
Infomercial.
I recently saw, like, a chin strap that goes around your head and you sleep with it on. And it's going to, like, tighten the underneath of your skin. Like, get out of here. It's $99.
But wait, that's not all.
Right.
For the same price, you get
another pillow.
You get another one. And this set of Ginsu knives.
Yes. Right. No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. I think the worst one I ever saw was that shake weight, the one that's awake. You kind of shake it. That looks like very masturbation style, you know?
1,000%. It's very dirty, very fellatio. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The shake weight. I don't even know if it works, but man, that one was always like,
it's hilarious.
Like, are these guys for real? Like, is this, I guess it is for real because it ran for so long and everybody knows the shake weight.
Oh man. Like, I thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit when I first saw it. I was like, oh, this is a joke. And it's these guys that are actually serious and putting it up to their mouth almost. You're like, come on. Like, how much did they pay you to do that?
Yeah. Like, oh God. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
everybody knows the shake weight. Everybody knows the Snuggie.
The Snuggie was great. I love the Snuggie.
Great, because it's so bad that everybody's going to know about it. So what should we create that's so bad?
You know what? Like, once you started selling the Pet Rock back in the 60s and people bought it, I mean, it's all about marketing. You do get the right marketing.
Everything is marketing. Anything.
Absolutely.
So what are we going to create?
You have the best product in the world. If you have the best product in the world, if no one knows about it, it doesn't really matter. So what are we going to create?
It has to be so bad that it gets attention or so weird.
Okay, let's talk about all the gizmos and gimmicks in golf. There's so many of them. All the ones. There's so many. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, this one's got your arms together. This one's got the thing that.
It has a diamond face on the wedge. It's going to definitely help you get out of the sand. This diamond face you need to buy.
Yeah, all of this stuff. Like, you know, and I'm like, okay, wait. Is it good or is it not? Okay, this old man just broke 70. I'm like, wait a minute.
Because he drank and he only played 9 holes. But yeah. So the one thing I do endorse is called the Orange Whip.
I love it, by the way. I saw you in that commercial.
It's so simple. It's just so simple because it's all like tempo. It's not trying to change your downswing or swing path. It's just like you do it before you go out and it just gives you a nice like rhythm. Because that's all golf is. Everybody's trying to swing too hard. Everybody's on the first tee. They're nervous and they're fast. Speed is going to kill you. So just like get that rhythm down, keep it in your bag, take 10 swings before your round. You don't even need to go to the range and you're good.
I love the Orange Whip and that gets me loose. It loosens my whole body up. And with me, I'm sometimes I'm a back nine golfer because it takes me a while to kind of get warmed up. If I don't go hit a bucket of balls before, but that Orange Whip really does work. I do like that one.
What is your handicap right now?
My handicap as of today, I just got an update, was 15.6.
So you can play with anybody. Like you could go any outing, anything, and you're not going to hold up the round. Like
no, what I learned is no one really cares if you play good or play bad, but they do care if you play slow.
Oh my God. Like a 6-hour round. There's nothing I dread more.
Yeah. You know, so I know that I'm going to have some good holes and I'm going to have some bad holes. That's just the way it is right now. The quick story, some of my friends are really good golfers and like I'd go out and golf with these guys and I've been golfing, you know, since I was younger, probably 16 or 18, but never took lessons. Just, I'd golf once every 3 months, once every 6 months, once every year. And then I got with these guys and I'm like, okay, well, I'm a way better athlete than these guys. Why do these guys kick my ass in golf? So finally I took a lesson from, you know, reputable golf pro, and then started understanding your golf swing, and then started playing. And I was playing a lot and, you know, working things out, and what works for one person won't work for me, totally. And vice versa. I said, oh, now I'm bringing my handicap down lower. And then I was doing well until COVID hit, and then I stopped playing and then trying to get it back a little bit. But you have to play. That's the golf. You can't, you have
the short game goes out the window. It's the first thing, the short game. And that's where you save all your strokes, the putting, the chipping, the 100 yards and in. That's it. And that goes first.
Yeah. What's your handicap right now?
God, I don't keep one on file. I play less than anybody would ever think that I play. I say I'm an 8.
Wow.
But I barely break 80 anymore. I use a lot of extra balls. I do. I take a lot of breakfast balls. Yeah.
You have fun. You have fun.
I have to have fun because I can't be doing 80, that for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, you're breaking 80 or getting close to breaking 80. You're pretty good. I mean, I think my best round ever is like an 87. Sometimes I'm shooting, you know, a 107. Well, maybe not 107, but, you know, I'm shooting 100 sometimes. Yeah. It just depends, you know, how I'm feeling. And, you know, one day, you know, I'll shoot an 88, and the next day I come out and I, you know, I shoot a 98. It's weird how I just lose it so fast.
Now, golf is day to day too. But I told you, nothing matters if you birdie that final hole and you go out on a good note. It doesn't exactly matter if you shot 150. You're like, I can do this tomorrow. I can do this tomorrow. Let's go have a sandwich and a beer, and then we'll come back tomorrow and pay exactly another $300 to get our ass kicked.
Right. And, you know, I love just being outdoors. I mean, mm-hmm. In California, we're so spoiled. We have such great courses out here. Yes. And it's year round, you know, it's pretty good. So, you know, I have an incredible course right across the street from my house. So I play it all the time, and I get out there and just like I'm in nature and I see a mm-hmm. deer, and I enjoy that. I really enjoy that.
What is a topic that most men and women are not willing to tackle that we could tackle right now? Because everything is so sensitive right now. And oh my God, that's one of my things with the world right now. It's way too sensitive.
I think we have to find the balance between changing things for the better and being so sensitive and so like sue happy, you know, like, oh my God, you stepped on my lawn, I'm suing you. It's like, all right, dude.
Take it's litigious, easy. Litigious yeah. People. It's just like.
Yeah, you know, yeah, for sure. You know, it's like there's so many wrongs in the world that we have to make right.
Yes.
But at the same time, you have to choose your battles and choose your fights and know what's, I don't know, what's worth it, I guess. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Some people like wake up every morning and they're offended that they haven't been offended yet. Honestly, are they going on Instagram? Totally. If somebody yesterday, I posted a picture of my boyfriend driving because he's a terrible driver and he's Japanese. Mm-hmm. And I said, my Asian driver boyfriend, and people are like, you're a fucking racist. And I was like, he's Japanese. Like people are crazy. Like they're not.
Yeah, no, for sure. And especially everybody on behind a keyboard, everybody's like a keyboard warrior and so, you know, tough and judgmental and stuff. And we're all guilty of it. But when did love and respect go out of style?
It's unbelievable.
I think that's something that we have to get back and
respect,
get back.
Respect, reverence. Yeah. That's it. It's not that hard.
Black lives matter and blue lives matter. Look, you're right. It matters. So there's a reason why the BLM movement is happening. You know, these people, they need help. They need our help. So let's listen and help. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, people are looting. I said, no. What's going on is looters are looting. Protesters are protesting.
Correct.
So we can't define that movement, that BLM mm-hmm. movement, because of a few bad seeds. Just like you can't say that all cops are bad because some cops are bad. I'm not a defund the police guy because there's we need the police.
Neither am I. Can you imagine there not being 911 to call if someone's robbing you?
Exactly.
It blows my mind.
Exactly. You know, does there have to be some reform? Okay, sure. There have to be some policy changes. Absolutely. But I just think that we need to, you know, find that happy, that common ground and, you know, and start loving again, I guess. I don't know. Back to you.
Yeah.
Back to Holly.
Yeah.
When you're on the sideline with Fox Sports mm-hmm. and at the NFL games, you're living what every NFL fan, any guy wants to be. He wants to be on the sidelines. That's like the ultimate of ultimate. How is that being on the sidelines? And you're working, but you've got to be loving it, right?
Yeah, it was very cool, and it was very loud. Like, I can't explain to you how loud those games are. Like, instead of just wearing one earpiece, I would have to wear two, especially in Seattle. Like, that's the loudest stadium. And I was always very nervous about just missing my cue, because if it's right before the game, right after the national anthem, that's when your first hit is going to be. And if you don't hear the booth, because they're in a booth way up high, and I'm the only one in the field, the producers are in a truck a mile away. I can't see who my hosts and the announcers are. I can only hear their voice. And if I miss it, then I'm standing there on the field like, hey, are they coming to me yet? And you just look like an asshole. So that was my one thing. You've got to be able to hear. And then you get those coaches at halftime, and you're always going to get one who's not so happy, one that's behind, you know. And then after the game, you're running on the field and trying to grab somebody in the middle of excitement or you know, disappointment, whatever happens, is sometimes it comes down to a field goal with no time left on the clock. So it's exciting, but at the same time, like any other job, you do it enough times, you do get bored with it. And sometimes it's freezing cold, sure. It's sleeting, it's snowing, especially in October, November. If you're doing a game in, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, if it's college football, or Green Bay, for NFL, you're freezing the entire time. And I just got tired of asking the same questions, because you get 2 to 3 questions with the coaches. And there's nothing, when's the last time you heard somebody ask something crazy out of the box, or that they answered in a different way you wouldn't expect? Right. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I got tired of that. You're just kind of, you know, plug and play, you know? Any, if I was out for a week or I was sick, you could find somebody else to do it. I want to do a job where somebody can't replace me.
Yeah, it wasn't challenging for you anymore, correct?
It wasn't. So while it's very cool and every fan would like to experience it on the sidelines, that part is cool. And to hear the roar of everything and to see how hard those guys hit each other. And I really enjoyed it. It's time to move on at some point.
Did you have a monitor that you were looking at, or were you just having to watch the field and kind of
watch
pick it
the by field? Yourself? Watch the field.
That's tough, because you don't know what people are seeing on their screen.
Correct.
So like when I would be commentating for WWE or whatever, I'm looking, even though the match is in front of me, I can't look at the ring. I have to look at the monitor, because mm-hmm. now I'm seeing what people are seeing and then comment on that. But just to sit there and kind of guess, in a sense, because you may see this big hit in front of you, but if the camera misses it, you're like, all right, well, you know.
Totally. And if there's an injury or whatever it is, and you don't even know how you look, like you want to know how you look before you go on TV. Like I like to be in a studio. I like to do like a check of, you know, them show me how I look. Okay, great. And then you get to see, like you said, in a controlled environment, the action that's going on. It's so hard just to go off the cuff. People don't understand that. You don't have a teleprompter. I'm memorizing my first minute, you know, and you don't have anything in front of you. So, and thousands of people screaming around you, like it's a much harder job than anybody can imagine.
That's
TV is
so
hard.
Tough. That it's so tough. Live TV is extremely tough. They don't get that. They just think that you're just kind of winging it. And okay, whatever. We got one take. This is
it. That's it. And if
I mess
and
up,
you fuck
or
it up,
something, yeah, something slips out. You're like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to say that, or whatever, you know. You've seen a lot of the commentators recently.
Oh, my God.
Are getting fired for saying something that they shouldn't be saying and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, it's crazy. It's tough.
Dude, you just got to remember every mic is hot. And that's just what ever since I was young, just pretend somebody's going to hear it. Somebody in the truck is going to hear it, even if you're not in the air. Anything racist, homophobic, you need to know in this climate, this day and age, number one, it's wrong. And number two, like, somebody's going to be offended. Don't be an idiot.
Mm, you're right.
But we're seeing a lot of that lately. I don't know what one of the people I work with on the NFL was Tom Brenneman, who recently was let go by the Reds.
Yeah.
It was horrible to see, you know, just so sad, because he's a good man and I enjoyed working with him. And, you know, just 5 seconds, just a couple things you said ruins a career.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and things have changed so fast. The things that you said 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that were just a commonplace thing, you kind of can't say anymore.
Like, no.
not that we should have probably ever said it ever before, but that was just like the culture, you know, that was just how it was or whatever, you know,
right.
and that's, it's such a catch. It's hard. It's hard position to hard to be a commentator right now. It really is.
It is. So just watch your shit, but you also want to have fun too. Like, I mean, there was a point when I was walking into Fox and people that I know very well would be like, can I tell you that you look nice today? And I'm like, what? This is so absurd. this proper, like, this is nuts. Like,
may I tell you that you look nice today? Yeah, no, you're right. We had this transitioning.
Oh, he was in the middle of it. Okay.
He was transitioning and very, very cool person, but came up when I started seeing the next season. I hadn't seen him yet. And he came up to me and was like, hey, can I give you a hug? And I'm like, well, yeah, of course.
Sure,
and
right?
He said, oh, I always ask. And I'm like, you know what? I appreciate that for sure, but I'm a hugger anyways. I'm always like, any guy, I can always grow to grab a hand and then I pull in for a hug. You know,
sure, it's personal. It's just like, yeah.
And as a culture, it's Hispanic culture, we're always kissing on the cheek. I, you know, give kisses on the cheek a lot. But you got to be careful with that because sometimes, you know, people are like, whoa.
There was a woman on an airplane not too long ago, a very old woman. She couldn't get her suitcase down. There's just men standing there looking at her. And I got mad. I was like, what the hell is wrong with all of you? I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? And they go, well, nowadays I did it for someone last week. And a woman said, I could do it myself. Step back. I'm like, dude.
Well, just ask, hey, would you like me to help you?
Do you
need help? Can I help you? No, I'm okay. Okay, great. No problem. You know, and then you let them do their own thing. You know, there's always going to be that person that you can't, that will be offended because you're trying to hold the door open for them. But I will still do it. And like this happened one time, I was in New Jersey and held the door open for this very older gentleman. He's probably, 85 years old. And I'm holding the door open for him, just being polite. I would hold it open for anybody. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how your age, your ethnicity or your gender. I'm holding the door for him. And he goes, I got it. Leave me alone. So I just let the door close and it slammed right on him. And I just kept blocking.
He's crusty. He's like crusty.
I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, come on, dude. Really? So holding the door for someone holds the door for me. I'm like, hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And you do like the fake run where you like kind of
human. Yeah. The fake run.
Like when you go across the street and you're not running any faster than you'd walk, but thank you. Show a little effort.
Yeah. But
waiting in my car and you're crossing the street.
Yeah. You're showing
up. Act like you acknowledge it, you know? Or somebody lets you in traffic, wave to them.
The little fake run.
Give me a job. Show me some effort. How do you deal with haters?
You know what? The haters are going to be there no matter what. And that's just
your biggest fans.
Because you don't get hate. I've met a lot of billionaires in my life. And those guys were always uplifters. And they're like, dude, you can do it. You can do anything you want. Because I had people telling me I couldn't do it. You can't. You're always going to have those haters. I just filmed a commercial for this company called Smart Cups. A friend of mine owns it. And it was me, Mike Tyson, Kurt Angle, a couple of UFC guys, Vitor Belfort, Henry Cejudo. And we sat around and we're all pro athletes. We're at the pinnacle of our careers at times. Some of the baddest men on the planet. Mm-hmm. And none of them were really big. None of us were really big. We're all sitting there and we're talking like at a round table and just talking about how every one of us had people telling us you can't do that. You can't make it out of the barrio. You can't make it out of jail. You can't do this. You can't do that. And we're like, God, man, I hated that. But that's probably what fueled us the most. But people telling us that we couldn't do it. That we were going to do it.
It's these people that you don't even know. It's these people you don't even see. Like, I can't imagine taking the time to make a fake email address, to make a fake Instagram account, to go talk shit to someone I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like they have nothing better to do in their life. You know, all I do is just block. I just block now. Just
of course, you slide left and block. But how can you hate someone so much you don't know? What is that inside of you? I guess we're okay with ourselves. So like, we try to see other people do well.
Yeah, they're just trying to get a rise out of you at times. They're just like, oh, this person, they responded to me.
Yeah.
I've complimented her several different times and she never liked my post. But now I'm going to create a fake account and I'm going to see if she'll respond to me calling her a racist, you know?
Right. I don't know what that mentality is, but I don't have friends like that. I know you don't have friends like that. Like, oh fuck. Like, how much time do you spend now making other people happy that don't matter in your life? Like, when I was younger, I used to put effort into that. Now I'm just like, I got five friends.
It used to bother me if you didn't like me. Being younger, it bothered me. Like, well, why don't you like me? Like, everybody loves me, you know? But so if I found out now, like, I'm okay with it. Not everybody's going to like you. And I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. I don't like everybody. So that's okay. So if you don't like me, that's totally your prerogative. That's great. No problem. I'm sorry that.
But tell me you don't like me. Don't act fucking fake. That's my one thing. I don't like that either. That's fine. I don't care. I don't like
either. I'll respect you a lot more if you tell me to my face as opposed to stab me in the back.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't be cool to my face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can be respectful and be cordial, but don't pretend like you're like everything's fine and then start talking shit behind my back. Because you're gonna find out. Everybody talks.
Dude, everybody talks. What is it about that people don't understand? Everybody talks. Every time that you're up for a job or anything, your boss gets on that phone with someone that knows you or is there any kind of reference of the job you worked for before, and he's gonna find out.
Oh yes.
People don't understand.
Yeah.
Again, it just goes back to being nice to everybody. Just be nice.
I agree. You know, the ones that deserve to be a jerk, you be a jerk about it. That's the way it is, you know.
And usually consistently jerks. I don't understand that either, especially in Hollywood. Like, what is that? Just insecurity?
Hollywood's a fickle bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood, you know, they love you sometimes and they hate you sometimes. And that's just the way it goes. And, you know, it's as shitty as it is times, it's pretty awesome at times also. But, you know, you're getting into the business knowing that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. You have to please teach me. Like, I don't know. I love wrestling so much. I just want a lesson and we'll film it. I'll bring my own group.
We're gonna trade services.
Golfing,
teach
yes.
you wrestling and you're gonna teach me to be a better golfer.
Can we do that? Like I'll come to Orange County. I'll bring my crew, we'll come and we'll do this.
Yes, 100%.
Just a day in the life.
I'm so
two
down.
Different days. Because I'm too old to do it both in one day. So
yeah, no, that's great. No, for sure. We have spend more time together and have fun for sure. But how a question for me that's you always want what you don't have, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a musician, a lot of times you want to be an athlete. If you're an athlete, you want to be a musician, you know, you want to do different things. Well, I've always wanted to know what is it like to be able to get on the golf course and just be able to kind of beat everybody?
It's still awesome. I thought you're going to ask, what in my life don't I have? Or what do I want in my life?
And the answer, I'm shallow. I'm totally shallow.
Golf's never able to be conquered. So it always stresses me out. There's like one day out of 70 to 100 days where I'm playing and everything goes right. And you're just on autopilot. And every shot you hit,
amazing.
Doesn't matter. 7-iron, 5-iron, driver, everything just feels so good. It's off the center of the club face. And you're like, fuck, I'm so happy. And every putt is 10 feet or in. And then you come back the next day and you're just like, why am I playing? Like when you're just on autopilot and you shoot 70 or 69, then you just go have lunch and the sun is shining. You're like, oh, like I love golf so much. Then the next day you're like, I need to quit. Like I need to sell my clubs.
I think, yeah, I've got those. I was buying something with a nice strong shaft so I could throw it.
Durable.
Yeah, you know, I think that's why we do appreciate those days because they don't come around all the time. They're few and far between. You have that when everything works. I remember, you know, days I was playing basketball and every shot went in. Like, it's like I could not miss, you know.
Right.
It doesn't happen all the time. I guess with wrestling, I think I had more of those days than not those days. I remember the ones that I didn't have that were good, you know, thank God. Or I guess that's why I was a pro wrestler for a long time.
Yeah. No, it's easier. I think it's easier to control entertainment than it was to play sports. It was way more stressful for me to play sports than to do TV. I don't know what it is about the controlled climate. It's more of a controlled climate than actually playing sports. So I guess you're depending on a lot of like other people too. Like TV, you do what you can do, and that's all your notes and being prepared. Like I've never been nervous really on TV except for the first couple of years, just because I was always prepared. If you're prepared for something, if you're nervous or something, that means you're not prepared to me. I don't know about you.
No, for sure. You know, I was a little bit opposite. In the ring, like I was always like, all right, I got this. I can do
this.
No matter what. It was such, wrestling such an improvisation thing that we were able to, I was just very confident.
In your abilities, yeah.
Whatever is thrown at me, I'm going to be able to pivot and make it work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, on camera, it's little different sometimes with me and even being prepared and having lines and that kind of stuff. And sometimes like, you know, they'll say action and I'm like, oh shit. Okay. You know,
no, how much you do prepare, there's, like you said, there's nothing like live TV, but somehow if you're professional, you make it work. And yeah. so the audience doesn't even know. Like if you're having a bad day, I remember there were days when I was getting divorced and he was emailing me during the morning show and it was just horrible. There's attorneys like during the break, you know, I'm getting all these like horrible emails and stuff. But when you go on TV, your job is to not let anybody know that at home. Right. You're there to entertain them.
That's right. That's right. You gotta leave it.
Don't give a shit if you have a bad day. You're there to make their day better.
That's right. That's right. I always say when I'd get off that plane, it was okay. I'm on. Let's go. I'm on all the time.
That's it.
You're always work talking to some actresses and they're like, well, you know, how are we going to do this? And I said, you all know how to wrestle already. Do you understand that you're always working, right? You're always telling somebody that, you know, you're better looking than you are. You're mm-hmm. smarter than you are. You're better actress than you are. Well, at the same time, that's how we are when I get off plane and, you know, into the arena. I'm bigger than I am. I'm smarter than I am. I'm more athletic than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm always working, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm always kind of, you know, manipulating, trying to get people to see your strengths and hide your flaws, just like a date.
Too. Yeah. And there's a huge thing to faking it till you make it, too. There really is.
Yeah.
Huge part of that.
That's true. You believe it, they believe it.
Too. If you walk in someplace that's roped off or taped off, and you walk in there with confidence and you're like dressed well, they're gonna let you most of the time go through. They're not even gonna question you. Maybe now because
that's
of heightened security and everything. But most of the times you act like you know what the fuck you're doing. And you're not doing surgery or flying a plane or something, God forbid. You're gonna get where you need to go.
We always finish this Suplex and Cerveza podcast with some rapid fire questions.
Oh yeah, I love this.
Just for like people to kind of get to know you a little bit more, and there's no right or no wrong, just kind of see what makes you tick and what your likes and dislikes are.
Great.
Are you ready? You good with it?
I am ready. I'm ready. Okay, good.
All right, cool. So are you a TaylorMade or Tidelist?
TaylorMade.
Okay. Would you rather drive for show or putt for dough?
Putting for dough matters more, but it's so boring. Like all I want to do is just bomb it. Like, and that's what people want to see too. But you score by putting for dough. I was just never any good at it because it was boring to me.
Right, right. You'd rather just grip it and rip
bomb it.
Bam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing better than an awesome drive straight down the middle and
my
just
God.
Runs. Yeah.
Just watch it and enjoy it. Pick the tee up in your pocket. Like, oh.
I know, right? Dogs or cats?
Dogs. I had a French bulldog for about a year. Nice. Ate all of my shoes and stuff, though. I was traveling a lot and gave them to my aunt who lives in Arizona. But dogs for sure. I think cats are evil. I don't know if you have cats. I just think cats are evil. And men who have cats, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't. I grew up, I had a cat and it was awesome. Like we found it. It was eating out of our trash can. And then all of a sudden, like, all right, we fed it and it stuck around for 15 years and it was awesome.
God.
But that was one of those cats that like it was like a dog, like it was indoor, outdoor cat. And it was so low maintenance, was just like, it was awesome. I developed an allergy to them, so I can't
really. I have it too, but, same thing.
Yeah, but I'm a dog guy also, you know.
I think they're seeky. I think they like dig up your plants just kind of look at you and they're not super loyal.
Yeah, yeah. I like somebody when I come on, get over here, and it comes over, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't look at me like, screw you.
They love you.
Gucci or Louis Vuitton?
I was just in Louis Vuitton yesterday. I think that their stuff lately has been hotter. I like it. I like it better, especially like their fall stuff this year. I think Louis is a higher quality. What about you?
I saw that. Louis, I mean, I have a great Louis Vuitton story that's why I like Louis, but that's me.
Some good shit.
Yeah, for sure. Dom Perignon or Cristal?
Dom, only because most of the people I know, that's what they have picked. If there's a big celebration, I see Dom more often. So I don't even really drink anymore. But the last time that we really drank was New Year's Eve, and Dave bought a bottle of Ace champagne for everybody, the big one at Dre's over in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And the bill was like $78,000. And it came and I was like, this is a typo. I was like, this might be like $7,800. He's like, no, that's right. And I was like, why? I was like, why would you do that? $78,000 plus a tip. And I was like,
plus a tip. Oh,
no more. I will send you a photo of it. It's this big. They send it to you in like a casket. I'm like, nothing tastes that good. Don't ever do that again.
I think $78,000 would make me stop drinking also.
Oh my God. I just remember going home and he was like taking his clothes off and he's like, never again. He's like, not again. I was like, I didn't order in the first place. So
Eddie Murphy or Dave Chappelle?
Oh my God. I think Eddie Murphy's just classic. But Chappelle, like Chappelle's show, I still watch like the Shirts or Skins with like Prince and everything. Like I still watch his stuff. God, I think Eddie Murphy though. Like Nutty Professor, Eddie Murphy, mm-hmm. God, he was so good.
MMA or boxing?
MMA. MMA for sure. I recently really got into the UFC and mm-hmm. I just really enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot. Boxing is fun to watch too. I've never been to an actual fight in person though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've never actually been to a fight in person.
I love them. I love getting close next to
them. Do you?
Yeah. I think I like watching boxing closer because sometimes the cage, I get lost in the, I can't see as well in the cage.
Okay.
In MMA, you know, mm-hmm. even I kind of get close. I'm kind of like, unless you're right there in the front row, different story. But if I'm 10 rows back, like sometimes the cage is hard for me to see. That's why I love like a ring, like a boxing ring.
But they need to fix their seating. Tell Dana White.
Yeah. I love the Pride organization that was in Japan. Uh-huh. It was MMA in uh-huh. a ring. So I was able to see everything. I liked that. That was great. In men, are you a blonde or brunette?
Oh my God, brunette. Like I think I've had one blonde boyfriend. And it was like a dirty blonde. I'm just something about dark hair, dark skin. I'm in. That's it.
So you say there's a chance.
Great movie, by the way. Unbelievable movie.
I know. Dumber Dumber is still
classic.
In men, nice arms or nice legs?
Oh, nice arms. Like if you have those sculpted traps like you have, Chavo, and that sleeveless tee, like I'm in. I mean, legs, yeah, that's, I mean, I feel like you just need to be balanced, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You can't have like nothing.
You can't be a scrawny legs, no.
If you can't have a girl with huge boobs and no ass,
correct.
You've got to have it all balanced out. It's all life is balance.
Balance.
But work those arms. Like you can't be a guy with skinny, fat arms.
I agree.
No. Or boobs as a guy.
Yeah. The last one. Are you an old school girl or The Notebook? If you're watching.
Oh God, old school. Like my favorite movie is Step Brothers. You know, it's that crude comedy. Like, oh my God, The Notebook. I mean, I watched it once. Yeah. I get it, but I guess just being divorced and everything, I know everything's not a fucking fairy tale. It's just easy to me. The Notebook ruined so many women.
Yeah.
Because these young girls expect that. And that's not gonna happen. You're not gonna have two super hot guys. They're going to be fighting over you and allow you to go cheat on each other, basically. And one's not going to build a house for you with a wraparound porch. And the other one, like, it's not going to happen. Your parents might not like them. It's a whole thing. So it sets women up to fail, I think.
I knew you were going to say old school. I knew it, but I was.
Oh my God. Like has any girl, well, I guess you've been with your wife for so long since that Notebook came out. Like I was going to ask if any women made you watch it.
All those movies sometimes, now, not that I don't like those movies, Notebook, you know, Bridges of Madison County, those kind of movies.
Oh my God, Bridges of Madison County. Oh my God.
They just take so much. Yes, I love that. I still, I talk about that ending in wrestling terms sometimes, but they take so much out of you. Like I got to like prepare myself. Okay, hold on. Am I in the right mood to see this? But I can see The Hangover. I can see Step Brothers. I can see Old School anytime. I can just put it on and start laughing, you know.
Right. Or see
you know,
part scary of it. It's movie. Easy to digest. You get 20 minutes of it. Ha, ha, ha. That's great.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean,
like,
I don't need
to. Bridges of Madison County, I was a wreck for like an hour afterwards. I was like, she didn't get out of the car.
Huge. I like those movies to where I have to think when I'm still thinking about them afterwards, you know, but sometimes I don't like those movies because it just, it pulls too much. It's hard. Like being emotional like that, it's not easy.
Why would she not get out of the car?
I know. And that I tell wrestling, aspiring wrestlers that, and I say, sometimes I've said in other podcasts, but I'll say it on this one. So in wrestling, like kind of what we talked about before, those moves, help tell the story, but they're not the story. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I saw the first Transformers with my kids, and they're younger. And okay, after 30 minutes of explosions, okay, I get it. You can blow some shit up.
Right.
But, you know, I want to connect to the, I need to connect to the
characters,
you know, and mm-hmm. I got to get like, be invested in them. So at one point, you know, Shia LaBeouf's friend dies, and you know, there's still explosions going on, and there's like some sad music. And I'm like, I don't give a shit, because you right. didn't make me care about him. I didn't right. care about him. Then at the same time, you have the bridges of Madison County. Not one explosion, not one. But at the end, when Clint Eastwood was there and it was raining, it was like, get out of the car, get out of the
That's
car.
It.
And it didn't happen. I was like, like devastated, like, wow. But I connected with the character so much.
That's it.
And in wrestling, that's what we have to, that's what we strive for. We strive to connect with the fans. The fans have to connect and feel for us, because if they don't, well then if I'm getting my butt kicked, who cares? I don't give a shit. Just a guy doing a backflip, okay, whatever. But you got guys like a Ricky Steamboat, Shawn Michaels, guys that would sell. They could sell so good, sell these punches, and people would connect with them, and they felt for them, like the person, like a Rey Mysterio, like people, like he's on the ground hurting, crawling for the ropes, and you feel for this mm-hmm. guy, and it's like, because they're able to connect with people. That is what wrestling's all about.
And that's the talent. That's the talent. Mm-hmm. If you can't actually achieve that, that is not easy.
It's not easy.
It's a huge talent.
That is an art form for
Absolutely.
Sure. Anybody can do a flip and do a, you know, a hurricanrana and a head scissors and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But people get mistaken thinking that's all that wrestling is now, but it's not.
Right. All right. Well, I guess later today, do you have time to watch Bridges of Madison County later today? Now I need to go watch it. Like, I need to go find who's streaming it and watch that entire motherfucker again.
I can't be invested in that.
Maybe this weekend. No football's on this weekend.
Yeah,
maybe
this weekend. No, I'm going camping.
Oh, you are?
Next 4 days. Yeah, I'm picking my motorhome and going to the beach.
I will not be doing that with you. That is not up my alley, unless there's like a Four Seasons involved. There's one.
Oh,
thing
no.
Not...
Well, I glamp. I don't. I'm okay, not in a tent. Ahead. I'm in a motorhome. I'm in
it's
a
like
motorhome.
Afraid. Yeah.
No. I'm out front with the fire pit and everything great, and then you're drinking beers out there, playing horseshoes, and then I'll go inside and take a hot shower in my.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
In my Sealy mattress, and put a cappuccino on and put on a DVD. So it's total glamping.
Oh, beautiful.
That's what I'm doing this weekend.
Okay, that makes me feel better, because I was like, we were soulmates until the camping part at the end here.
The camping part, yeah. No, yeah. I love being outside. I just don't want to sleep. Like, I hate that between me and the bear is this, the tent, and that's it. Like, I can't do it. Like I'm too like, oh my God, there's something out there. You know, I can't do that. So I'm super, glamp guy. But I do like being outside and being at the beach and doing
sure.
that kind of stuff. But, you know, then I'll go and inside and take a nap on my couch.
And then my five-star accommodations, it's fine. You can have it all.
Exactly. And but I do love I'm not going to go to a hotel and have it be a shitty hotel. It's
absolutely not. I'm not a snob about most things, but travel, I need to have those things be nice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's nothing like a first-class seat, and there's nothing like a beautiful
good
hotel room. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's
like
that
if I pull up, I had this all the time during college football too, just because those towns are not, there's a Hampton Inn and that's it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I pull up and there's no valet. I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Right. Spoiled. There's no room service. I'm a bitch. I'm a little bitch. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll be going to Australia, and I will be staying in a quarantine right to a hotel
Deal.
For 2 straight weeks.
Oh my goodness.
And so I'm going to be room serving for 2 straight weeks, and that room service is great unless you have to have room service.
Correct. Like, oh, it's a luxury when to have it at midnight if you want it.
Yeah.
But yeah, then you get tired of that menu real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those onion rings and what else do they have? They always have a burger. They
club
always
sandwich.
Have some clubs. Always
a club sandwich.
There's always a bad
burger.
Salmon. There's always a pizza, a frozen pizza, basically.
Yeah.
And a pint of ice cream.
Yeah, totally. Our favorite thing in Vegas when we go to Vegas, I mean, many favorite things, but is to wake up in the morning and, you know, still kind of hungover and stuff. So I'll just pick up the phone, order a bunch of food, like, you know, breakfast and pancakes and coffee and stuff, and go back to sleep. And then he'll knock on the door. And it's like, oh, okay, it's here. Time to get out.
Oh my God. You run to it. That's how I feel about Uber Eats now. Like, like, oh, they're here. And I don't have to interact with them. They leave it at my door. Like, God.
Yeah. Would you like us to knock or leave on the doorstep?
Leave it. Are you kidding? I don't want to talk. Like, gorgeous. Yeah. Now Walmart is going to bring my shit with a drone.
Yeah, right. I heard about all that stuff.
Now I'm becoming so antisocial too. So.
And that, it's funny that when COVID hits and everything's shut down and your life doesn't really change too much, you're like, right. I guess I'm having a social issue here.
No, that's exactly right. I can do my job online. I can, everything can come to me. I don't need another person. So what does that say about me? Yeah.
You figured it out.
Right.
Holly, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time
and
wanting to be on this podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Oh, you didn't even invite me. I invited myself on. So thank you again. And congratulations on this.
I would have absolutely do it. Thank you for that. But I actually would have did it, but I was kind of like, do I overstep my bounds on this? Well, no. And then when you offered, I was like, oh my God,
always ask. The worst someone can say is no. Always ask.
And yeah, no, you're right. Where can anybody see you, find you, and what do you got going on right now?
Right now with COVID, so many things have been canceled. We had so many irons in the fire. We had a celebrity golf gig, like all ready to go, where they play golf in a simulator. So like the last one was like Cedric the Entertainer played against Andy Buckley from The Office. And we did like a couple hours of that. And it was great. We're just working on sponsorship now. So just a bunch of different projects. I actually decided I want to get my real estate license. And I decided that yesterday. Nice. It's 90 hours. So I'm going to do that online. There's just a lot of shit going on. But you can always find me on Instagram. I'm always there messing around.
What's your Instagram name?
I am Holly.Saunders.
Holly.Saunders. Thank you so much. You are awesome, incredible, beautiful, talented, intelligent.
Thank you.
And a kick-ass golfer on top of that. That's you're it.
We'll get on the course. And thank you again, Chapo. I appreciate it. And congratulations on this podcast. You deserve this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And talk soon.
Yep.
And there you go. My conversation with Holly Saunders. Such a fun person to talk to. Very easy talking. I don't have to pull an interview out of her. It's basically she's pulling an interview out of me. But again, I really enjoyed talking to Holly today. And she's one that I will definitely have back on the podcast because it was just such an easy conversation. And she has so much knowledge in so many aspects of life. Golf, relationships, Louis Vuitton, Las Vegas. She can go on and on. Really, really great, great person. And again, I enjoyed it. So I hope you did too. And we'll see you next time. And viva la raza.
Slow your roll before I bounce on your head like a 64. She good game, peeps all game. That's why I'm calling out busters and calling out names. Take a shot of Guerrero Tequila. Then I start wrecking shop like Pancho Villa. Sa, step pa' atrás. Like Roberto Duran, you'll be staying on my. Round the outside, see round the outside. If I don't catch you here, then I'll see you outside. Then I'll Snoop Dogg you and drop you like a hot. And break your ass off like a crooked ass cop. See, this is the part where your face beats the ground. Step up, jump up, and get beat down. Knuckle up and boogie, let's get down. Bring the heat like mad or need to the rhythm of a beat. I wear my bandana like a king wears a crown. Step up, jump up, and get beat down. Respect the name, bottom line. We'll crack your frame and embed it in your brain. Got nothing to lose, so I go for broke. I hope you got the memo that I ain't no joke. Epa, epa.